Amen. Well, it's been a rich Sabbath already.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so exciting to see these young people making their decisions. And now, some of you who were here last week know that I began a series dealing with the temple, and I'm going to continue that later, but because this was a youth Sabbath, I'm sort of interrupting that to deal specifically with the subject that I think goes along with the theme of talking to the youth. And I'd like to share with you today some thoughts that I had. Any of you ever wished you could be young again? Amen. Now, those of you who are young, you're thinking, you're not wishing that, but those of us that look back probably often think, I wish I could be young again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to the youth for the next few minutes. Message will be a little shorter. We've had a full day. But I'm going to talk to the youth, and I'm going to share with you just some of my personal musings that if I could talk to you and tell you if I could go back and be young again, what would I do differently? What would I want someone to tell me that I wish that I knew or paid more attention to when I was young? And so, first of all, there's a verse that you find in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, when you're young and your eyes are clear and full of wonder and all your senses are at their peak performance, and you've got your whole future set out before you, you've got an element of innocence, and you can enjoy so much of life. Enjoy being young. I remember thinking I couldn't wait to grow up because it seemed like when you're young, everybody said, you're too young, you can't do this. That's why I ran away from home. I wanted to grow up in a hurry, and now I wish I had just taken my time and enjoyed it. There's so many responsibilities that you have as an adult that you don't always get weighed down by when you're young. You know, there is actually a verse in the Bible that talks about going back in time. Can you imagine what it would be like? I thought to myself, if I could go back in time and take my 58 years of knowledge and put them into my body, I'd probably do it at about 8 years of age. Because it'd be really weird if I had all the knowledge of a 58-year-old and like a 4-year-old. But boy, I would really impress my teachers. If I could go back and take what I know now and sit in my class with my parents would wonder what had come over me. If I could have the wisdom that I have now and put it back in that body and grow up again. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't want to grow up again. It was hard enough the first time. But have you ever wondered, am I the only one that's ever wondered before? If I could only go back now and have that body, first of all, I'd do a lot more to take care of my body than I did back then. So, for the young people, just pretend for a minute you're old and you didn't have to be old. And it was just a nightmare. And you wake up and you're still young again. What could you take from your aged experience and put into your young body? What would you get out of it? What would you learn? You know, it says in Job chapter 33, verse 25, going back in time, his flesh shall be young like a child. He'll return to the days of his youth. All right, so that's my scripture excuse for going back in time. I'm going to return to the days of my youth. You got one more, actually. Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a promise I think all of us can enjoy. First thing I'd say is start early. Don't wait. Some young people, they grow up in church. They're exposed to Christianity. They think about God and they say, oh, you know, that's for old people. I'm going to have fun and have as much excitement. I'm not going to worry about, you know, feeling guilty and repentance and all that while I'm young. I'm going to just whoop it up, sow my wild oats, and when I'm old and decrepit and can't enjoy sin anymore, then I'll give the leftovers to God. That's terrible. That's like giving someone a rose after all the petals drop off. Don't give the leftovers to God. Give him your youth and your strength. You notice in our scripture reading, it talked about while he was young, King Josiah sought the Lord. Do you know he was the best king that you ever had in Judah? He was the best king that you ever had in Israel. He actually ended up ruling over both again. He was better than David. He was better than Hezekiah. He was better than King Uzziah or Jehoshaphat. King Josiah served the Lord with all of his heart. There's no record of Josiah committing any great sin like David or Solomon, or, you know, Solomon got on a dating website. That really messed him up. And, you know, David, we know about what happened. Uzziah wanted to be priest when he was told you're not supposed to be. And they all messed up. But you don't see that about Josiah. He was faithful right into his dying breath. While he was young, he made up his mind to serve God and to put away the idols out of his life and out of the kingdom. And there was a great revival, and he had peace in his days. So start young. You can read in 1 Kings 18:12, "But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth." Psalm 71, verse 5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." The reason Daniel was faithful to pray and to read God's word, even when he was threatened, it says he did what he had done since the early days. He had learned young to seek first God's kingdom. The third thing is learn all that you can. I don't know how to try to illustrate this except to say that you don't realize it when you're young, but what you're learning now, you're putting in a large wheelbarrow that actually is solid. As you get older, there are holes in the wheelbarrow, and what you put in drains out. And the older you get, the bigger the holes get. And as you go through your day and you try to store knowledge and wisdom and anything new, it just seems like at the end of the day, the barrel's empty again. But when you're young, you remember the things you learn. You will never be able to learn more than you can when you're young. If you're going to learn a language, learn it now. It's hard when you get old. If you're going to memorize scripture, most of the scriptures that I can quote back to you, I learned when I was still in my teens. You want to learn while you're young. Learn all you can. Let me give you some verses. 2 Timothy 3:15, "From childhood you have known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise." Holy scriptures. Fear the Lord, beginning of wisdom. "For salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." Like Samuel, every day say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." God was able, because he sought the Lord while he was young, to use someone like Samuel to be a judge and to be a priest and a leader and bring revival. Start while you're young, making God the greatest thing in your life. You know, there's a proverb that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 10:10. "If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success." So you want to get your axe sharpened by education. Wisdom brings success. You know, I'm pretty good with a chainsaw now. But you can ask Karen, I'm good with an axe. I did it for a living. I swung a splitting maul and an axe all day long. I have one still in my backyard just for a good time. I go out and I split. But I can put a fly on a piece of wood and I can hit it. It takes 20 swings, but I can eventually hit it. But when I came out of New York City and I moved up into the hills and I realized I needed to cut a lot of wood, now you didn't want to do it the old-fashioned way, I got a chainsaw. But I'd never used a chainsaw before. And immediately I started cutting a piece of wood that was on the ground, and I, you know, bent the chainsaw down and I hit the dirt pretty well. And I started cutting with that saw, and I cut and I cut, and it wasn't cutting. And I'm serious. I remember it was a little Echo chainsaw. Smoke was pouring out of the crack where I was trying to cut, and I thought I was going to set the piece of log on fire. I was pressing with all my might. They got these little prongs, they're called dogs, and I rammed the dogs in. I was prying up on it. It's going, smoke's billowing out, and I said, this is taking forever. I did that all day long. I think I cut like 3 rounds of wood. It nearly set the woods on fire. It's like the guy that goes to the hardware store and buys a chainsaw And he comes back complaining the next day. He said, it took me all day to cut a log with this thing. It doesn't work. I want my money back. And the guy said, well, let me take a look at it. He takes the switch. He turns the switch on. He pulls the cord and goes, vroom, vroom, vroom. And the guy goes, what's that noise? He didn't know you're supposed to start the thing. Once I learned about you don't hit the dirt with your saw and how to sharpen your chainsaw. I know how to sharpen a chain now. I know there's a right angle makes all the difference or it'll cut crooked. Wisdom makes a big difference in life. And now, compared to taking all day long to cut one round of wood, I could sharpen that saw where I could just lay the saw on a log and it goes like butter. This rips through it. And your life is so much easier with wisdom. You know how many mistakes and how much time and money and things I've wasted because I lacked wisdom. Learn all you can while you're young. It will bring success. And learn about as many different things as you can. You know, there's one face on U.S. currency that was not a president. Do you know who it is? Benjamin Franklin. You're right, Hamilton. Maybe there is more than one. Benjamin Franklin is one of the only... See, you got to learn these things when you're young or you forget. Benjamin Franklin's one of the only people who was not a president on U.S. currency. I forgot about Hamilton. He wasn't a president, was it? It's because he got shot? Is that what happened to him? Yeah, in a duel. He died. We all know that's true. But Benjamin Franklin has a good cover. He was what you call a polymath. A polymath is a person who is hungry to learn as much as they can about as many different things as they can. Actually, Franklin is kind of one of my heroes because he was real adventurous. Even though he ran away from home when he was 17 years old, and he only had a shilling in his pocket and went to Philadelphia, he became very successful because he was hungry to learn. He was involved in the printing business, so he read a lot, and he kept educating himself, and he read voraciously and studied, and he was curious. Whenever he saw anything new, he wanted to learn all he could about it. And so by the end of his life, just listen to some of the things that Benjamin Franklin accomplished in his education. He became a scientist. He was an inventor, stove, lightning rod, bifocals, medicine, founded the first U.S. hospital, banking. He was well known in Poor Richard's Almanac for his maxims on thrift, agriculture. He introduced several crops to the United States, printing. He's called the patron saint of printing for North America, electrical experiments. You all heard about the kite and the key, insurance. Started the first insurance company in the country. Heating homes, Franklin stove. Cooling homes. He had three different methods he invented for cooling homes. I know what one of them is. I don't know what the other two are. An educator. He was involved in founding two colleges. Optometrics. So you know, I told you about bifocal glasses he invented. Postal. He was the first postmaster. Libraries. Started the first circulating library in North America. A journalist, public safety, started the first police department, religion, introduced the idea of prayer in Congress. Now, I should tell you, in case you've heard, for a while, he was raised a Christian. His parents were Puritans, memorized a lot of scripture, left the church for a while, became a deist, came back to the church. People in history always say he was a deist. He didn't stay a deist. If you read his autobiography, you realize he came back. It's very clear from the things he wrote that he came back to trust in the Lord. He didn't believe in deism, that God created things and left it to run on its own. He's the one who told Congress, he said, if a sparrow does not fall without your heavenly Father's notice, a nation will not rise without prayer. And so to this day, they still pray in Congress. He was in the military. He was a colonel in the militia. He was a diplomat, ambassador to England, and a minister to France. He was a businessman, owned and operated several businesses. He was an abolitionist, started the society to abolish slavery. He was a humorist. He had a great sense of humor. He was a mariner. He designed sea anchors. Even though he got seasick all the time, he took several trips. He was a linguist. He studied and spoke several languages and designed his own phonetic alphabet. He was disappointed it never took off. He was a cartographer. He mapped the Gulf Stream, realized that there was this warm body that was affecting the weather in England, and he also mapped several post office routes. And a philanthropist. In the end of his life, he organized fundraising and contributed to many different causes. He never stopped learning. You've got to have a hungry mind, because your wheelbarrow will get holes in it as the years go by. I won't say exactly when that is, because it varies. But it is a lot easier to learn all you can, study as much as you can, eat well, get rest, and learn all you can while you're young, especially Scripture, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 4, 5, and 7, get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all of your getting, get understanding. That, by the way, is written by the wisest man who ever lived. He says, if you're going to be greedy for knowledge. Sharpen the axe. It'll save you a lot of problems in life. Humble yourself. You can avoid a lot of problems in life through humility. You know, the Bible doesn't say that God humbles us. The Bible says you must choose to humble yourself. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Whether it's with your actions, your thoughts, your mouth, but when you start acting proud, and there's a lot of ways you can do that, you end up getting in trouble. I've got a scar. You can't see it now because it's disguised by wrinkles under my left eye. I've got a scar I could show you on my left hand. I've got one on my leg and one on my left foot. In all the cases, I got them because I was showing off. And so I always look at these things, and they're scars that remind me a haughty spirit goes before a fall. Got the one under my eye. I was riding over these bicycle jumps on these old banana seat Stingray bicycles. Some girls were watching. I wanted to impress them and go over this jump. And I thought, I'm going to see how high I can jump. Well, the bike flipped out from under me. I landed on my back, and the bike came down on my face. I had to wear a patch. You didn't know that for a while. Principal reason I wear glasses is my left eye. It happened way back when I was a teenager, showing off. Left hand. Do you want to hear all the details? Left hand. I was up in the cave. Someone, camper, came by. He was amazed that I lived up there. He was so impressed. I thought, watch this, I can spear fish. And so I started, we had trout in the creek. So I sharpened a stick. I was sharpening the stick, and I was cutting towards myself, because I told you I didn't know how to use a chainsaw either. Didn't know how to use a knife. And I cut my finger right down to the bone. And up there, and I had to stitch it up myself with one hand. Uh-huh. My left foot. Somebody came by the cave. This wasn't long after that. And I was going to show them how I could dive real high off the rocks into shallow water, which I could do. Yeah, like those guys in Acapulco. I was a great swimmer, diver. Walking across the creek to show off, I stepped in the creek where I'd stepped 100 times before barefoot, and I don't even know how it got there, but I stepped on a Gerber baby food jar. You know the glass ones? Now they're plastic. I didn't eat baby food. I don't know how it got up there. And it broke under my foot and cut my left foot open. I was way up in the mountains. I had to stitch up my own foot. I'm not very good. It's a big old scar. And so, showing off all the time. Humble yourself. You'll save yourself a lot of misery. Now, pride is not always, young people, pride is not always about wanting to be the class clown and have everybody notice you. Some young people are so afraid of what everyone thinks of them, they're insecure. That is another kind of pride. You are preoccupied with what others think of you, and young people get so worried about what their friends, they wake up and they look in the mirror and they've got a pimple right in the middle of their forehead, and they think, I look like a cyclops, I'm not going to go to school, life doesn't matter anymore, I should just die right now. And just, hey, don't worry, it'll go away. Life will go on. You'll recover. Your reputation will survive. But really, I remember thinking that way. You're just so worried about what everyone's going to think of you. Humble yourself. It doesn't matter what they think of you. All that really matters is, what does God think of you? He's the only one you need to impress. Maintain purity. And I'll try and be delicate. Someone said, adolescence is the age at which boys discover girls and girls discover that they've been discovered. And, you know, just before that, they couldn't care less and they got cooties and want to stay away from each other, but then something changes. And unfortunately, in our culture, the message from the media, 90% of the time when you watch TV programs, there's sex. Most of the sex that's on the programs is not even between married people. Matter of fact, I can't recall it ever being between married people. That would be boring. People don't watch that. It's these non-marital relationships, they act like it's the norm in our culture, but the Bible has a totally different standard for purity. And the Bible tells us we should maintain that purity. You'll be glad you did. You know, in the world, they act like, you know, your only purpose in life is you live and you have sex. Like you're a salmon that's supposed to spawn before you die. And there's really more to life than that. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't have a place, but you'll survive. Maintain your purity. There's reasons, because a lot of people get hurt and causes all kinds of problems, and I can't tell you how many young people I know that have their whole lives before them, and they were going to go to school and get an education and learn and sharpen the axe, and they got involved too young, started having children, maybe even before they were married, took their whole life down a whole different road. Wait. Wait. Oh, but what if Jesus comes before? Well, you won't have to worry. You have other things to worry about if that's the way you're thinking. Wait. 2 Timothy, let me give you some scripture. 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul is talking to Timothy, who knew the Lord from his youth. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, in spirit, faith, in purity. And that's what Paul's talking about there. Next point. I spent enough on that, you know. Be good. Don't touch each other. Learn to work. Work is good. The chores the average American young person does is nothing compared to the work of our forefathers. There was an age where working young people was abused, and they sent these little kids down in the mines and worked them 16 hours a day, and I'm not talking about that. But hard work will not kill you when you're young. If you don't learn to work and to appreciate the value of work, you can't succeed in anything in life. It'll play out later in studies. But God created us to be industrious and be busy. Let me give you some verses. Leviticus 19:32. No, wrong verse. Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. The yoke was an instrument of farm labor. And it wasn't always just the family cow or the sheep that would pull the plow. They used to pull them by hand. You go to many parts of the world and you're going to see a man with a plow strung over his shoulder and he's pulling this instrument. You can read in Genesis 46:34, they're talking to Pharaoh. Your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth. They used to be out in the fields working. When you first find David introduced in the Bible, 1 Samuel 16:11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? He said, they're all here except the youngest. He's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we'll not sit down till he comes. The youngest, who is he? David, out keeping his father's sheep. He was out in the field. It involved work. And so, don't be afraid to learn to do plain old work. And it might be dishes, it might be work around the house, it might be work in the yard, it might be hot, it might be uncomfortable. Don't whine and moan and complain. Most of the time your parents won't ask you to do work that's really going to kill you. And you might want to quit and do something else. You might want to go play video games or something. Work's good. You will thank them later in life if you learn to work. Amen? I need the support of the elders among us. How important is work? Learn to work when you're young. And since I'm on a roll and gaining votes, respect your elders. You will save yourself a lot of trouble if you believe they do no more than you. Leviticus 19:32, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and you will fear your God. I am the Lord. God says one of the ways we show we love and fear God is by respecting our elders. Luke 2:51, this was Jesus' pattern. Jesus went down with them, Joseph and Mary, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. God came to earth in the form of a man, and as a young person, he was submissive. He was subject to his parents. Ephesians 6:1 and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Honoring your parents can help contribute to a long life. Keeps you out of a lot of trouble. Now, you notice it says, honor your parents in the Lord. Occasionally, there'll be a young person that one or even both of their parents aren't believers. Honor them in the Lord. As far as they're asking you to do something that doesn't contradict any biblical moral principle, listen to them. And you'll find that they have wisdom. My father was not a believer, but a lot of things he told me I wish I had listened to, because it was just basic life wisdom that could have saved me a lot of trouble. And, you know, it says it will prolong your life. I think it's interesting. When you look at the life expectancies in the world, you know what country has the greatest life expectancy? Japan. You know what country has some of the greatest respect for elders and ancestors? The Japanese. That your days may be long upon the land. Respect your elders. And then, I'm almost done. Be enthusiastic. Be fervent. Whatever you're going to do, do it with all your heart. Find out what you're excited about and then pray that God will help you find a way to make money doing it. God wants you to have zeal in life. It says in Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit is how he puts it. Have a fervent spirit, serving the Lord. Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. By the way, do you know what was the verse that Benjamin Franklin chose when he was young to guide his life? That verse. Let me read it to you again. You see a man, it says, who excels. In King James, it says, who is diligent in his work. He will stand before kings and not before mean men. And the word mean there means unknown, common people. If you're faithful and diligent, one thing Franklin did, if you ever read any of the quotes from Poor Richard's Almanac, he always talked about thrift, making good use of your time. How could you be a polymath and be a scientist and a politician and learning languages and a businessman and a printer and doing all those things? He invented a glass harmonica. He invented an instrument. Any of you ever heard of the glass harmonica? Makes the most beautiful sound. Never took off because it was very complicated. You ever seen where you wet your finger and go on the edge of a wine glass and it starts to make? He actually made a bunch of wheels that cranked through water, and someone would, he had a pedal thing, and it would pedal like, and it would turn, and he would take his fingers like a piano, and he'd play this glass harmonica. It's beautiful. One or two of them still survive today. He had time for it. He played guitar, too. Am I still talking about Franklin? Yeah, well, you know what his verse was? Be diligent in your business, and you will not stand before unknown people, but before kings. Franklin stood before all the kings of Europe and became one of the founders of the country because he believed in doing what you do with all of your might. Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever your hand does, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive a reward. Almost done. Number 9, be moderate. Now, sometimes we use the word, and you probably think it's old-fashioned temperance. Even the good things, don't overdo it. Don't overeat. You know, I look back at how much I ate when I was a kid, I'm amazed I survived. Especially when you're a teenager. I mean, you go way beyond, you thought if a little is good, then a ton is better. And I just said, don't overdo it with your eating. I'd stayed up sometimes, I'd go on a road trip, I wouldn't sleep for days, and now I think I'm paying for it. You can't burn the candle at both ends. Do things in moderation. Take care of your body. It says in Philippians 4:5, Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. An old timer told me one time, I just wish I had known it sooner. His name was Art Reed. I used to do yard work for him, and he was in his 90s. And I said, how do you stay healthy so long? And I remember I ate at their house several times Sabbath. They'd invite me over, and he'd push away his plate, and there'd still be a little on his plate. And he told me, he said, Doug, stop eating when you're still a little hungry. He said, wake up when you're still a little sleepy, and stop talking when you still have something left to say. He said, those are the keys to a long life. Moderation. Now I've got something, though, for those of you who are thinking, boy, Pastor Doug, why couldn't you have told me this 50 years ago? There's good news for those of us that are more senior. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And when you're born again, you can still be young on the inside, even though your wheelbarrow's full of holes. Amen? And so, young people, God has a big plan for your life. You follow some of these tips. I've got more, but you won't remember it all if I give it to you all right now. You seek the Lord while you're young, and you'll be established, and he'll do wonderful things for you. Amen? And that's going to be our closing song. I will early seek the Savior. We'll invite our singers to come up here and lead us. And that's number 539 in your songbooks. I will early seek the Savior. How many of you want to say, we're going to pray for the youth in our church? Amen? Let's stand as we sing together.